Well, now it is time for receiving the Word of God through sermon, and we're going to be blessed today to have Pastor Roy Erdahl. Roy was the second pastor here at Sydney Lutheran Brethren Church, starting in 72, right? And sticking around till 1976, which I'm not sure how that's possible because I've met his wife, Diane, and she is only 39, so yes. But Roy Erdahl is going to be bringing us the word this morning from the Psalms. Thank you, Roy.
Hi. I've never preached in this church. I have all my memories from that older church downtown that we worshiped in while we were here. It's wonderful what God has done for you through the years. And I know that I know it's true for all of us, our attention is often on the challenges. I'm at a unique place in my life. I've never been here before, this age, and I'm retired, whatever that means. But it means I'm not actively pastoring a church on a weekly basis. I don't prepare sermons every week like I used to. So I look back, and I've got all these memories and all these stories, and I've learned that when you get retired, you talk too much. And a person told me, Roy, you always did. So you've got a clock in the back of the church, and every church I served had one, and I've been told, why don't you look at it? So I'm going to really try to do that today. Reminiscing is a wonderful thing, and I tell you this very honestly. Part of the reason I chose this passage today is because literally every morning I have the unique time in my life where I wake up with my mind worshiping and praising God. God, you're so awesome. You've done so much. And yes, I remember the struggles and the challenges. I remember the times when I was here and I should have gone like this a few times, you know, straight out of seminary. I was idealistic and perfectionist and things just don't measure up and they needed to be done yesterday, not next year. And God's going, yeah, but I got control of this, not you. And my wife is amazing, you know. God just gave me the right person. So 49 we celebrate just in a couple weeks. Not bad. I mean, I'm so excited. I look back over my life and I say, God, you were faithful like you promised. I'm not going to get on these rabbit runs too far. But when I was a kid, I remember all my life knowing God wanted me to be a pastor. I don't know why. I always fought it. I never really wanted to do it. When I was like 13, I don't want nothing to do with the church. You know, I used all the excuses I've heard as a pastor from other people, and God made me brazen enough to give the answers. So many hypocrites. Yeah, there's room for one more. I have a friend who said, yeah, the church will fall down. I said, well, we need a new one. Come. God will build us a new one. You know, and I was about 15, and all those years I had a really hard time accepting God's authority. I can't say that's ever really been over completely. But he showed me some details, and really, do you think the people in the world are going to accept you if you don't do things their way? Like you're not wanting to do things God's way or the church way, and you struggle because they don't accept you? And I just knew God's message to my mind was right. I said, okay, from now on, God, I'll follow you. And I can look back over my life now at 70, and I can say, you know, God, you did it. Oh, I failed a lot, but you know what? I'm still doing it. And I think of little things in life, like my daughter. She ran the 400 meter. She made it to the state when she was in high school. And they didn't slate her to place. She got second place. I was, wow. You know, this determination is a gift as well as, you know, a struggle. And I remember when she fell, once just before she got to the finish line. And she could have sat there and cried, but she didn't. She got up and finished. You ever see that Olympic guy when he raced? And he fell. He was slated to win, and he fell. And his dad came down out of the stands, and the guards tried to push him away. And he pushed the guards out of the way, ran down to his son, helped him get up. And you watch that in tears as he helped his son finish the race. God's called us to finish the race. And we won't just be praising him here because he's led us through it, the challenges that are beyond us. He will get us to worship together up there so we never quit. You know, as a ones, wasn't it Churchill or something I said? Never, 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 never quit. I'm not sure that that's what he said exactly, but, you know, that's really what God tells us. And I grieve over those that have deserted their posts for whatever the reason. They're the ones who have lost. God is faithful to us, regardless of how we see it. Oh, God, find us faithful. May you find us faithful. I've chosen this passage in Psalm 9 more as a relate to this passage kind of thing, because there's a lot of details in here I don't want to get bogged down into. And let's just pray before we turn to this, shall we? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word and the example of men who have gone before, who worshiped you faithfully and failed but stayed with the course, and how you forgave them, you lifted them up again, you carried them to the finish line. God, you're going to do that. And I worship you and I praise you. And I'm so thankful, just like we see in David today, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will continue to do. And we will see some of it in the little brick of our life on the total structure. But you've got the total picture. Because you're God. Thank you, Lord. When I was in Sunday school, you'll remember some of the choruses we sang, right? Remember this one? Running over. I haven't heard this one since I was a little kid. Running over, running over. My cup is full and running over. Since the Lord saved me, I'm as happy as can be. For my cup is full and running over. You know, that's where I'm at. That's where God wants us to be. And in the most difficult and blessed and circumstances of our life, why not? Why can't our cups run over? Well, today we're here to celebrate for the right reason. God's been faithful for 50 years in the ministry of Sydney Lutheran Brethren Church. We're blessed to be a part of it, even if for a short time or a long time. Stan Lindblom was an elder when I was called here to be a pastor. I guess he's still elder emeritus. Jerry was Jerry, are you a year younger, 2 years younger than I? Same age? Really? Well, anyway, they had the vision on that elder board to have two young kids. And we had a lot of fun, didn't we, Jerry? I mean, yeah, we had a lot of stress. But boy, we see what God has done. It's an amazing gift. And you know what he's doing now? Did you see what Pastor Solberg did here this morning? How many of you watched the nightly news? Huh? None of you? Well, I watch it out of the station. Mine, I don't live in mine, but, and I'm telling you, these people stumble over every other word. I don't know who trained them to do this program. Pastor Solberg went through that entire process without stumbling on a word, without messing a sentence, without having to re-speak something. I'm impressed, Pastor Greg. I'm impressed. That was great. I don't know anybody could do it that well. But anyway, I think he deserves some applause. At least from me, he's going to get it. What is it to celebrate? I took it from a dictionary. It's to perform. And literally, it does say this in the dictionary. It says to perform like in a sacrament or a solid ceremony, to make a public celebration. And that's what we're doing. We're celebrating. We're receiving from God. We're celebrating from God. Whenever we have communion, a baptism, we preach the word, it's a celebration as we present the truth of God. Or to honor. It's an occasion such as today, such as a holiday where we declare a time of appreciation, to honor somebody for what they've accomplished, to mark something, like today as an anniversary. Sydney Lutheran Brethren Church is celebrating 50 years of ministry, and you can look back and see how God laid the foundation for this, and little by little put the sticks up, even though there was a fire. That's not a problem. God has something better planned anyway. Oh, it's so easy for us to get stuck. I had one person say once, you know, he walked up and said, how you doing? He said, well, pretty good under the circumstances. And the other guy said, well, that's really a terrible place to be under the circumstances. Huh? I thought that was a pretty good answer. To hold up for public notice. To hold up. I saw in the newspaper, they were holding it up in public notice. You presented that to the community, those who were part of this over the years. Look what God has done. Isn't he awesome? Yes, we're celebrating what he's done in our lives, and we're celebrating who we see him to be. But today, I think we just need to celebrate God, because we love him because he first loved us. We do ministry because he did ministry to us, and he continues to do ministry to us and through us. We're so blessed. We get none of what we deserve. Wow. I told my wife one day, you know what? Thanks for loving me. I haven't deserved your love. Wow. You love me? The last one, one of them listed here is, to proclaim the glory, to celebrate, to proclaim the glory. Isn't that what we're doing today? Declaring the glory of God. My daughter, sometimes we sit around and we play some games now. And somebody will say a word, and she'll start singing a song from that word. And her husband goes, ah, again? Well, she grew up in the church, and she knows all these songs, and so do I. So sometimes I'll wake up singing a song that I remember from my childhood. What a gift! So let me do this. These are synonyms. We almost had a cinnamon roll today, but we didn't do it. So, anyway, synonyms. Bless. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within my being. Bless your holy name. Praise. Praise the name of Jesus. To exalt, to extol Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. To glorify or laud, all glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King. To magnify, oh, come together and magnify the Lord with me. Let us proclaim and rejoice in his name together. Why not? Do we have any reasons why we shouldn't do that at any moment or at any time? Some other related words. Adore. Father, I adore you. I lay my life before you. To idolize. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. To deify or worship. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Acclaim. You are my King. To applaud. To hail. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. And then as I think about these songs, I'm not sure which word this one fits under. But when I was a child, growing up in my parents' home, well, we got ready for church. We listened to somebody some of you have never heard. Norheim, Pasadena, California. A Lutheran Gospel Hour. Rosenius Norheim. And here's some of the words of the song. Oh, will you give heed to this message today? To your convictions be true. Part of these words. My friend, he is now calling you. Don't turn the Savior away. How will the lost know of Jesus if they cannot see Jesus in you? Yes, Lord, find us faithful, because there might be somebody out there that you want to change a life. And that's the greatest proof for the gospel, is a changed life, mine and others, because of what God has done in our lives. We can look back and say, thank you, Jesus. Where would I be without you? Well, I think I know. He kind of showed me that a couple of times. This is where you'd be without me. You better hang on tight. All right. David in this passage is celebrating God with an overflowing cup. Remember the chorus? His overflowing cup that the Holy Spirit has just filled. And David celebrates God with his response. The first two verses of Psalm 9 have four I wills. Four I wills. I will. You can even say them. I know that he's putting them up on the board for you. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I'll hold nothing back. Thank you. Remember those 10 lepers? One came back and said, thank you. Oh, I want to be the one. May we not? And you know what I've said? I'm a grandpa now, and my kids were older than the two that were born here, you know, when we left here. They were pretty young, and my grandkids are even older than that now. But you know, all I want for my kids is appreciation. I don't really care about anything else. Right now, I just want appreciation. Isn't that nice? I think that's what God wants from us. Just overflowing hearts of appreciation and thanksgiving, and that's what His Holy Spirit is doing. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. You know, Pastor Roy, we've heard all your stories. Well, maybe I should write a book or something so you can hear them, but then they probably wouldn't read them. Everywhere I've been, God's given me one really strong, earthy, negative, forceful personality of a guy. And I think He says, it's where you'd be. So, you know, here's your chance to share what I've done for you with Him. And sure enough, there's one where I live. And one day we're in the car, and you know, this is just my life. This is who I am. So I'm talking about the Lord, and this guy, he goes inside to get some parts, and he comes back, and he goes, could we just leave this nonsense alone already? And I said, tell you what. See, like I said, God seems to always give me an answer. I said, tell you what. If you don't want to hear anything I have to say, if you're offended by what I have to say, you tell me, and I'll never come back. But you can never offend me. It's not possible. You can't offend me. And I mean, he takes God's name in vain in every other word. He still calls me all the time. So I figure I haven't offended him too much with the gospel yet. So I keep talking about it. And he tells me he doesn't believe. And I've never thought of this one before. And if God wants to use this in your life, you can have it. To use, I mean, you know. Because everything is a curse by God or a curse from God. And I hate hearing these words, but I want the opportunity to share Christ with him. So that's my highest goal. One day I said, you know, I need to ask you something. I need to let you know I really feel bad. He said, well, why is that? Well, you know what? I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. And I don't use his name nearly as much as you do. I ought to be ashamed of myself. And he did not know what to say. I thought, you know, God, thanks. That's the best one I've had yet. And now he's more careful. Hardly, he uses a lot of other words, but when he says God, he kind of stumbles over a little bit. And I'm just praying, God, save him. I've watched God chip away at these diamonds that are rough, and little by little you can see. I had one of them call me up one time. He says, I don't think God wants me to drink anymore. It's controlling my life. I said, really? I've never said that. Really? He says, yeah. Well, I said, I think you better listen to him. That's a good idea. God, you're so amazing. You'll do the work if we're just there to be supportive of it. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds, all the things that you're doing, and I will worship you and praise you because I can't do it. I will be glad and rejoice in you. These are David's I wills. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. Wow. In this personal moment, when David's heart is overflowing by the work of the Holy Spirit, David's promise with the words, I will, they often come from us too sometimes, don't they? From moments of time, I mean. Sometimes we're afraid, so we say, God, if you'll just get me out of this, I'll do this, because I know that's what you want. And then we get out of the foxhole, and you've heard this one, right? Kind of forgot about that one. Sometimes we're so excited at what we see that God do for us and through us and in the ministry, we're so overwhelmed. Oh God, I'll do this. It may be a moment when we're excited about the presence of God and what we see in Him. The next moment we're shaking our head, God, after you've been so faithful and so great, how could I? How could I do that to you? I'm sorry. What is it that captures your emotions for God? David celebrated praise and worship as God was. He realized, he experienced God as his sovereign. Ever seen these ads that say, get what you deserve? Come down and buy this pickup? You deserve it? You know, if I got what I deserve, I know which one they'd give me. God, please, thank you. You're not going to give me what I deserve. I worship you. I praise you. Thank you so much. And David, with an overflowing heart, had the desire to give back. And God says, I want your appreciation by what you do, by what you say, by how you think. Just appreciate. And when you fail, just be honest. That's what my wife wants, an honest, open relationship, right? I don't know, us guys aren't real good at that sometimes, but I found God knows what's in my heart, so I might just as well tell him. He already knows it. I will give thanks. I will brag on God. I will be glad. I will exalt God. I will sing praises to God alone, of God alone. Think on times in the ministry of Sydney Lutheran Brethren Church when you faced what seemed to be totally impossible circumstances. Oh, they're in our lives too, but they're in our ministries, and sometimes we see them more. Never went anywhere where I didn't see that. But we faced them with faith in God and the outcome confirmed. We put our faith in the right place, the right person. And basically, we end up feeling bad for those who gave up and deserted their post. Where they knew God, where we knew, they knew God wanted them to be. It happened to David. And the words of Psalm 9 poured out his heart through his head and into the written word of God for us to rejoice with him. Today is our Psalm 9. Specifically, portions of it. In his exuberance, what does David celebrate God for? See, Pastor Greg? That's why I notice it, because I stumble over words sometimes too. I was telling them in the parsonage the other day, you know, Pastor Hussey makes pizzas once in a while, and he invited us over, and we had a great time and a great visit, because I didn't really know them very well, the two pastors you have. And we had a good visit and shared a good time together, and I said, you know what? I sit back today, and I remember how wet behind the ears I was. I didn't say it in those words when I came into the ministry. And you worry sometimes when you're older pastor. You used to think about it. I didn't say I worry about it, but think about it. I wonder if the next generation's going to have it. They have it better, you know? They got it better than we did. I sit back and I wish I could have been the pastor I know I could be today that I know I wasn't when I was young. And these guys, they got it. They got some maturity. I'm really thankful to God for that too. He continues to do his work. In his exuberance, what does David celebrate God for? Holy Spirit helps him to see this about God. He celebrates his knowledge of God. God is my place of refuge when I am troubled. This is not just church. This is ministry too. This is personal too. It's the church. It's ministry. God is my strength when I'm afraid. You can read Psalm 9 and see where he's afraid all the time. And I'm afraid too. And I had a friend tell me once, I'm never afraid of anything. And the better I got to know him, the more I found he's afraid of everything. He just covered it up. Denied it. Hoped it would go away. God is my strength when I'm afraid. God never sends away those who seek him. God listens to the cry of those who hurt. God causes the hearts of those who trust him to rejoice. God values appreciation from those he rescues. And based on that appreciation, he keeps rescuing us more and more and more, hopefully in newer ways, so we just don't do the same sinful thing over and over. But even then, he'll never leave us. He, you know, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll rescue you. David knows Jehovah God for who he is. He sits on the exclusive eternal throne. He's always just. He's sovereign as judge of this world. He's the one with the answers, the place of strength, the power, and the glory for anyone who knows his name and puts their trust in him. He does not forget the cry of the hurting. Now, David uses a little more of an impersonal word that we're not used to. He says afflicted. What does that mean? Hurting. That's what it means. I go to the doctor. Where does it hurt? That's what God is to us. Where does it hurt? More of the heart thing, you know? Church is not a sanctuary for perfect people. And actually, a bishop said this once, and it helped me a whole lot in ministry. It is not a sanctuary for perfect saints. It is a hospital for us sinners. And I've been in the hospital a few times, and I am not a very good patient. One time I was in the hospital, and I said to my wife when I got home, I think this time I was a pretty good patient. She said, no, you weren't. She was good to stay there with me, but I wasn't. And then she reminded me of a few responses that I gave. And okay, we're not good patients when we're sick and hurting. David knows the faithfulness of God in his circumstances. God is just. That means he keeps all his promises. David knew God would never leave him alone or desert him. The peace that passes all comprehension as he guards and keeps our hearts in Christ Jesus. That's the peace nobody else in this world has, because they've got to handle their own circumstances, and we can rest in the impossible because God's got our back. David knew God would never leave him alone. David knows the response of God in his needs. God has David's back when he feels helpless and afraid. I can't do it, God. I bet I didn't have a day where I said, I can't do it, God. But I had a teacher in the sixth grade. I never forgot this little ditty she taught us. I do it different, but whenever you feel afraid, hold your head erect and whistle a happy tune so no one will suspect you're afraid. That's our way of handling it, isn't it? David's way of handling it is, God, you got my back. Whenever I feel afraid, I come to you and I bask myself in your presence, and I know the outcome is going to be awesome. Can we let God do that in our lives? Oh, I keep trying to come back. I keep wanting to come back to that. Well, David celebrates God in his responses to him. David celebrates God with his knowledge of him. Study the Bible. Know God. It's the only place you're going to really get to know him. You've heard that today. It's true. If anything you believe about God, you don't find it in the Bible, you don't need it. Stick with the truth. David celebrates God in humility. He doesn't say, hey, God, take care of me. I want to take your place. That's what Satan did, you know. David, he didn't come there and say, God, I want to be great. He said, and here there's a couple ways you can say this, because there's a couple words used in different translations, and I should mention that to you. Look it up and read it. One uses the word mercy. The one I chose is gracious, because I just like that word. I think mercy is good too. Be merciful to me, O God. But it says, be gracious to me, O God, O my Lord. Be gracious to me, O Lord. O you who lift me up from the gates of death. Not may, you do. You lift me up from the gates of death, that I may recount all your praises, that the gates of the daughter Zion, that in the gates of daughter Zion, I may rejoice in your salvation. My cup runneth over with joy. Hasn't always been true in the ministry. Hasn't always been true in my life. It's a wonderful time of my life to be able to look back over these years and say, you know, God, I lived what I believed you wanted. Oh, I don't want you to think it's a brag, because I'm just talking about the path. I'm talking about the place of service. I messed up a lot, and God was there for me. And God led us through a lot of stuff. And I wish I could have done it better. I can't. Just entrust it to the Lord and be thankful. I have nothing really, probably at this point, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men, for the Lord is near. Wow, God, you're just so awesome. Let's celebrate you today. You know, he didn't just do this in Psalm 9. He went on in Psalm 34. Listen to these words. They're even better, if it could be. He's again celebrating God for his care. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Psalm 34, 1 through 3. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted or the hurting hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. May that be our experience. I know to some extent that's been your experience. God has been faithful to you in the ministry of Sydney Lutheran Brethren Church for now, which you celebrate 50 years. Praise God. God's overflowing grace. May your cup be full and running over as the Holy Spirit works in your life through the ministry of God's Word and sacrament at Sydney Lutheran Brethren Church. He's been faithful. He is faithful. He will always be faithful. May that translate in this kind of response, because this is ancient, folks. This is ancient. Heavenly Father, thank you. It's hard not to read what David felt and not feel the same. It's hard not to forget it when challenges are beyond us. Help us stand in your presence with a heart like you put in David. We worship you. We glorify you. We celebrate you. Thank you that we have the blessing and the privilege to participate in it.